China has detained and estimated hundreds of thousands of Muslims inside what it calls vocational training centers in its northwest region of Xinjiang. Those who have been released describe them as concentration camps and tell NPR they are places where authorities brainwash detainees with communist doctrine and where some claim they were tortured. Last weekend, China's government took NPR's Rob Schmitz on a rare media tour of two of these camps. As Rob reports, it was a choreographed attempt to change a narrative that is spinning out of China's control.
China's government is eager to show journalists the bright side of its network of detention facilities housing Muslim ethnic minorities. And this is how they're doing it. Uyghur detainees at a detention facility in China's far western city of Kashgar are led into a song that seems tailored for a visiting group of journalists skeptical about everything they're seeing. This is a government-paid media trip. And according to the government, this facility is here to erase what it calls extremist thoughts among Muslims and refocus them on learning skills they can use in the workforce. Mijit Mahmood, the principal of what authorities call the Kashgar Vocational Education and Training Center, insists the 1,500 Uyghur students under his watch are treated well and are free to go home on weekends.
People here have been infected by extremist thoughts. They broke the relevant laws, but their crimes are so minor that they are exempted from criminal punishment. The government wants to save and educate them, converting them here at this center.
Mahmoud says detainees spend their days taking classes in Mandarin. Many of them don't speak Chinese. Chinese law, to understand the laws they allegedly broke, and vocational skills that can lead them into careers as tour guides, online retailers, or electricians. He says students are here for an average of 8 months and can leave after doing well on exams. But none of the several detainees the government made available to NPR said it was clear when they could return home. Ayigui Abdulrahman, a 30-year-old mother of two, says she's been at the center for 10 months. She doesn't know when she'll get out. When I ask her why she's here, her answer begins the same way as everyone else I spoke to.
I have serious extremist thoughts. I made my children participate in religious activities from a young age, and I didn't let them sing and dance in a cultural entertainment activity. I interfered with their personal freedom.
Abdulrahman says she also sent government welfare checks back to the government because she didn't think they were halal or allowed under Islamic law. She didn't allow her children to watch TV cartoons for the same reason. Her 25-year-old classmate Yusu Pujang has been here 8 months and had to quit his job as a salesman to live here.
I forced my wife to stay home and not work. I didn't think the money women earned was halal. My neighbors reported me to the authorities.
Pujang says police also looked through his phone and saw that he had viewed some online videos showing Osama bin Laden training al-Qaeda members. Like all of the detainees NPR spoke to, Pujang says he didn't know what he was doing was against the law and didn't understand that his thoughts were extremist. Haley Lee, a teacher at another detention facility in the city of Atush, explains.
When the students arrive here, they don't know what extremist thoughts are. Most people in southern Xinjiang don't understand Chinese. They don't know much about China's laws either.
This raises the question many human rights advocates are asking. Why is it fair to detain Muslims for acting on what the state considers extremist thoughts if they themselves don't know what that means? This question is posed to the only Chinese government official on the media tour willing to speak on the record. His answer sounds like something out of a science fiction film.
If we take the appropriate actions and stop the attacker before he makes his move, we save the lives of the attacker, his family, and at the same time, we ensure the safety of victims.
Du Bin is division chief of the Information Office of China's State Council, and he made it clear his opinions are his own, not of the government agency he works for.
Take the Sri Lanka and 9/11 attacks as examples. What's the point of ensuring justice after due process when all the victims have been killed? That's why I'm emphasizing the preventative measures the Chinese government takes. It's proven that this measure is the key to fight terrorism.
When asked if he's saying the Chinese government is detaining those who are about to commit crimes, Du hedges a little. But he reiterates that if people are showing signs of breaking the law, local authorities will decide whether they need to be detained under the region's so-called de-extremification laws. Du says detaining and educating them with job skills is necessary to help the region achieve a national goal of eradicating poverty by 2020. When pressed on the exact number of people inside Xinjiang's network of detention facilities, Du explains why he won't.
If the Chinese government gives you an exact number that can endure the test of time after conducting a strict census, other countries would say we detained too many people in concentration camps. If we give you a small number, you would say the Chinese government is lying, right? We're in a dilemma.
So too are the Muslims inside the detention camps, says Sarek John Bilash, director of the Kazakh human rights group Atajert, which has collected more than 1,000 testimonies from families of those who have been detained. NPR interviewed Bilash last October.
These so-called study centers are prisons. They're hell. I feel bad for Uyghurs. It's we in Kazakhstan who are disclosing what is happening in Xinjiang. We aren't afraid to speak up because Kazakhstan is more democratic than China.
Bilash may have spoken too soon. In March, Kazakh authorities detained him on suspicion of inciting ethnic hatred. He remains under house arrest. Kazakhstan's government is a Beijing ally that's positioned itself as the buckle in China's trillion-dollar Belt and Road trade and investment campaign. Back in Kashgar, authorities finish up their tour of a detention facility, offering media a look inside a student dormitory. The detainees have told me they sleep six to a room in comfortable accommodations. But in one corner of the complex, I notice writing etched into a wall. It looks like someone tried to paint over it, but the message is still legible. The first line quips sarcastically, "This room is excellent." Then, underneath that, it continues, "Bear with it, my heart." Rob Schmitz, NPR News, Kashgar.